This is Fresh Air. In countries where dissent is not tolerated, writers often end up in prison. The American branch of the International Writers Organization, PEN, has a Freedom to Write committee which works on behalf of imprisoned and harassed writers around the world. Last night, PEN gave one of its two 1991 Freedom to Write awards to Abraham Serfati of Morocco. Of the 400 cases of imprisoned writers PEN has documented, he is the only writer they're aware of who is serving a life sentence. Serfati edited the political and literary magazine Soufle, which was outspoken in its criticism of King Hassan of Morocco. Serfati was also a prominent member of Morocco's left wing. He went into hiding in 1972 when the government cracked down on the left. He was tried in absentia and given a life sentence. He was captured and imprisoned in 1974 and tried again 2 years later. Christine Jouvin hid Serfati for the 2 years he was underground. She now lives in France. Only family members are allowed to visit prisoners. She married Serfati in a prison ceremony in 1986, after President Mitterrand's wife Danielle intervened on her behalf. Last night, Christine Serfati was in New York to accept the Freedom to Write Award on behalf of her imprisoned husband. I spoke to her earlier today. She was joined by Faith Sale, the co-chair of PEN's Freedom to Write Committee. Christine Serfati was a teacher in Morocco in 1972 when she was asked to hide Abraham Serfati. For her, it was like repaying a family favor.
When I was young, a child in the war, my father was a resistant, and people did the same for him. I mean, he was saved because people were hidden him.
Your father was in the resistance, and
yes,
he was hidden.
Yes.
In France.
Yes. And when a friend of mine came home in Casablanca, in 1972, and asked me, want to hide Abraham Serfati? I never knew the man, and I knew the name, to be frank, but not the man at all. But I couldn't say no, and so I just had to say yes, and so did I.
Can you tell us what it was like hiding him?
Yes, it was difficult. For a month, I headed him home. But I was married at that time, and my husband agreed for a month, and I had children. It was a bit difficult. I never knew what to say exactly to people coming and so on. And after a month, I tried to find other people to have him, but I couldn't, and I didn't success at all. And so I asked friends of mine, French one, that were leaving Morocco, to leave their apartment to their name, and I will pay the rent for that. And I left Abraham Serfati and two of his companions in those flats. I think they had two or something like that. And they, at that time, they had quite a normal life. I mean, they could go out and I did the shopping and paying the rents and light and things like that. But they just changed their haircut and their moustache and way of dressing. And they could... Casablanca is a big town, so it was possible for them to live.
How dangerous was it for you to do what you did for them?
I think it was, but really I couldn't say no. And when you have someone for a month, what can you do after that? Just put him in the street and at the police again? You know, if you start to do things like that, you have to continue. And I'm happy I had, because one of his companions was a young man studying, teaching exactly philosophy, was a very nice boy, some 30 years old, I think, at that time. And when he was captured by the police, he was tortured and he died. And so I'm still thinking I was right to do it.
Now, he was captured in 1974. Yes. How did they find him? Who found him?
I think there was a big Arabic conference in Casablanca or Rabat, I don't remember. And, of course, lots of police control all over the place, in towns and so on. And some young man of the same organization was captured, tortured, and he talked. And so the police could arrest quite a lot of people of this organization, rather intellectual organization, I must say. And they torture and lots of them. There were, I think, nearly 200 people arrested around the same time. And so was I, by the way.
You were arrested when Abraham Safadi was captured?
Yes, I was arrested and I was taken in a clandestine, can you say that in English?
Yes.
Clandestine center of police, where they were, but I couldn't see them. I just thought maybe they were there. And me, I was French, and it was very different for them. So they questioned me the night, and then they took me back home, and they put policemen at the door and said I couldn't go out, and took my passport. And I stayed home for 3 months, and a policeman, I mean officer, I think, somebody rather important, they say, came nearly every day to ask questions to me. He showed me an incredible quantity of photographs of people and tell me, who is that? Do you know him? And keys, too. He wanted me to recognize keys. And I have a problem with keys. I don't like especially like them.
Wait, he wanted you... What did he want you to do with keys?
To recognize keys. Say, this key is... I know the apartment, or I know the house, or so and so, but I couldn't even recognize my keys, so it was a... It didn't work at all. And after 3 months, they took the police people out. I could go out of the house, but I had no passport for two years and a half, I think. And French people at that time, I mean, embassy and so on, didn't much, I think. They didn't like me much. I just made trouble for them and so. And I was expelled in 1976, just before the trial started.
Were you relieved in a way to be expelled? Because once you got out of the country, at least you wouldn't be imprisoned and tortured.
Well, half-half. I was deeply attached to Morocco, to Moroccan people and so on. It was my life, if I can say. And I left them all. I didn't see them again. I left them in such terrible condition. It was very difficult to me to be in France again so far and able to do so little for them.
My guest is Christine Serfati, a human rights activist who is married to the Moroccan writer Abraham Serfati, who is serving a life sentence in Morocco. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. Christine Serfati is my guest. How often do you see Abraham Serfati in prison now?
Now, since I could marry him in 1986, I can go there when I want to, but there is a problem of working and doing things and of money too. And I go generally every 2 months, 2 months and a half. And I stay 10 days and I go to each visit possible. That means 4 visits a week. And that means if I stay 10 days, for example, I can go to 6 visits that are very long and easy because they are direct visits, collective, but direct visits. And we can talk a lot.
Christine told us that she thinks probably she and Abraham spend more time talking than most married couples.
Certainly. Certainly.
So you got married in prison?
Yes. Yes.
Who did the ceremony?
Whew, it was a bit difficult for me, I must say. Abraham Safadi is a Jew, you know, a Moroccan Jew. And it was a, do you say rabbin?
Rabbi,
who did the wedding with the director of the jail and lots of people I never saw in my life. And I was a bit, well, not very well. But after that, 2 days after, I could see him alone. I mean, not alone. It's a collective visit with God and so on. But I could talk quietly with him. And I saw he was a very respectable man and a very good man I knew before. didn't change at all, except in more goodness and more respectability, I think. And I thought I was right to do that. I didn't want him to die alone in jail. It's just horrible, no? Has no family now.
Christine, what are the conditions in the prison?
I used to say, because I'm frank, I think, I used to say they are good, but I'm quite fed up now to say that, because, you know, everything they have, and other prisoners don't have in Morocco, lots of them, they have them because they struggle for that, you know. They have no gift from the administration. For instance, they eat normally, but they buy their food, the normal food. Prison gives so little, they have to buy other things. And they have a television. And, you know, in Morocco, you can't see any other thing than Moroccan television. But still. But the family bought the television for them. And if we have direct visits, it's because they had quite a lot of how do you say that? Hunger strike. And very hard ones. And anyway, 17 years later, what does that mean? Good conditions. This prison, this jail is horrible. And I saw the cells and corridor, and it's so ugly. I mean, I can't say any more good condition. Just like what I can say is other prisoners in Morocco are in much more terrible conditions.
Do you know if your husband is able to write while in prison?
Yes.
What is he writing?
He's writing, for instance, articles for... He had three articles from him published in the journal Le Monde since the last 4 months, let's say. Things like that. Articles for newspapers or reviews or so on. And, of course, they goes out from jail non-officially. And not by me either.
Mm-hmm.
They manage, I don't know how.
Christine, what are your plans now? You'll be going back to France, and when is your next trip to Morocco?
I suppose at the end of May, something like that, I think.
And what will you be telling Abraham Serfati about the award ceremony last night?
Everything. Really everything. The way women were dressed, and I saw Lauren Bacall, and I was with great, well-known writers and so on.
Christine, do you have any hope that Abraham Serfati will ever get out of prison?
Well, difficult to say, you know, because 17 years of hope, it's a bit long. But I think we have to continue pressions and so on, and to have small victories and hope for the best. But I really don't can't say more about hope.
Have you lost hope?
No, I'm a very optimistic person, I think. But I can't have any date, you know, any date before me. Sort of general hope.
Christine Serfati. Last night, she accepted Penn's Freedom to Write Award on behalf of her imprisoned husband, the Moroccan writer Abraham Serfati. An award was also given to Francisco Valencia of El Salvador. This is Fresh Air.